Though, was just down the slope, puffing and complaining. She would never catch up unless he waited, wobble walking the way she did. "Uncle," I said without looking up, "to what do I owe this dubious pleasure after all these months?"
"You should plant your standard closer, soldier of darkness. You should be able to lay your hand on it at any time. Otherwise, you are likely to lose it."
"I don't think so. But one of the Pravindra Dras loyalists, a deceiver, hell, maybe even some miner, he thinks his talent is a secret kind of wizard. Anybody can take a crack and end up in that ditch over there before they know it bit them." I was bullshitting, but he wouldn't recognize it. I hadn't done that in the past. It knows who the good guys are. Mother Goda hobbled up. She carried a load as big as she was, everything useful that could be salvaged from our former home and the ruins of Kialune. That included an accumulation of firewood. I decided not to be totally abrasive, while the wood lasted. There are cooks in this world worse than Mother Goda. Among them are her favorite son and son-in-law. Uncle Doge, being both male and what passes for exalted caste amongst Dweng Bao, carried Ashwand and a quite unprepossessing pack. Mother Goda shed her load, dropped to hands and knees, and started to crawl into the bunker. As she met my gaze, I couldn't help grinning. She began muttering curses that, no doubt, were directed at the sort of evil fate that would unleash an earthquake at such an inopportune moment. The earth moved. One Eye would hear about that for however many more centuries he hung around. I said, "Let Tai Day rest. It's going to be another long night." As I edged over, Uncle Doge glimpsed the little bamboo tube I'd tucked in my belt behind me. The cold wind was getting stronger. The cloth of the standard popped and cracked. Uncle Doge peered up the darkening slope, eyed the bunker, glared at me like he was developing serious reservations about having left his swamp. I said, "Sometimes you have to live like this when you do what we do." Mother Goda crept back outside, still muttering, verbalizing what Uncle Doge was thinking. I reminded them, "You invited yourselves along." Uncle Doge opened his mouth but overcame the urge to bicker. He settled on the other side of the bunker entrance, Ashwand across his lap. Goda proceeded to scout the neighborhood, collecting stones. Our neighbors didn't object, despite rocks beginning to look like the only measure of wealth at this end of the world. I shut my eyes. Softly, just to be a pain in the ass, I whistled an air Sari liked to hum when she was happy. As it always does, darkness came. Chapter 79. They let me sleep. And sleep I did, despite the cold and the wind, the cooking smells, and my own snoring. As nightfall waxed complete, I slipped my moorings to my flesh, slowly. For a while I was like tatters stirring in a ghostly breeze. I made no real effort to go, nor any more to stay. Uncle Doge's return, with all its unhappy reminders, had inspired a great lethargy. My heart's inclination was the breeze that carried me north. I loafed over mountains and across wildernesses, past all the conquered cities. I found Sleepy on the road from Taglios to Dejigore. He understood that he would be in no danger if he kept moving. No agent of the Radisha could outrun the steed he rode. The Radisha remained distraught about his escape. It was critical to the conspiracy that every